This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Donald Trump is using an old anti-Semitic trope to try to convince Jewish voters to support Republicans. The president accused Jews of being disloyal if they vote for Democrats. That, of course, evokes the idea of dual loyalty, that Jewish citizens are more loyal to Israel than their own countries. So how's that going to affect the 2020 election? And Democrats are dropping from the field of presidential candidates. Today, U.S. House Representative Seth Moulton of Massachusetts announced an end of his campaign, the fourth person to step out of the race. Political junkie Ken Rudin's been following all of this and much, much more, and joins us now. Hello, Ken.
Hello, Frank. Is North Carolina for sale? I'd like to buy North Carolina.
Well, I don't know. It depends on what you throw in the mix. I think, you know, with the Greenland thing, let's go there now. Because do you think that in addition to the billions of dollars that we may have paid cash, that the president was willing to throw in, like, say, New York State, Massachusetts, and California?
Would and be a draft pick. And a draft pick.
For future consideration.
Exactly.
Let's talk about that a little bit. Actually, there's news today because we've learned that David Koch died. He is the brother of Charles Koch, and the two of them are known as the Koch brothers, powerful right-wing libertarian backers of a right-wing libertarian movement. David Koch passed away, the younger of the two. Tell us about his legacy.
Well, you know something, I mean, whenever you think of the unlimited amounts of money in politics and the changing of the Republican Party from somewhat of a moderate centrist conservative party to a right-wing party, the Koch brothers are responsible. For better or worse, the Koch brothers, especially Charles, who's much more ideological than David, but David as well, the hundreds of millions of dollars they put into campaigns, not only for candidates, but against, you know, referendum on taxes and money for transportation and infrastructure, they have moved the Republican Party so far to the right that there's no, like, the parties no longer have different factions in it. And the fact that they've had so much money in it, they have unlimited access and unlimited influence in the way the party moves. Now, they're not big Trump people. They refuse to endorse Donald Trump because, to be honest, Donald Trump is hardly a true conservative. A lot of people see him just as an opportunist, and he has been a conservative president. But these guys, especially Charles, but David as well, who died today, are true believers, absolute true believers.
Let's move on to Donald Trump's accusation of Jews who support Democrats as disloyal. What happened
there? Well, they are. No, of course not. Look, this is interesting because the anti-Semitic trope of Jews having dual loyalty, and matter of fact, Ilhan Omar, one of the congresswomen who Trump has been attacking, basically raised that as well. They talk about their love for Benjamins and the love, you know, and the love for Israel. That's been around for a long time. But when Trump says they're disloyal if you vote for Democrats, does that mean it's not about Israel, it's about Donald Trump? Jews have to vote for Donald Trump because if you don't, you're voting for the Democratic Party, which has now been taken over, in Trump's words, by the Rashida Tlaibs and the Ilhan Omars and the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortezes, who, according to Trump, are all anti-Semites, anti-Jewish, and anti-Israel. So he's trying to paint the Democratic Party as so far to the left and so anti-Semitic that how could Jews vote for anybody but Republicans?
But he doesn't use anti-Semitic. He uses disloyal, which is a word he may have heard around the House a lot. Who knows where he heard it, but it is a word that was often used, even before the State of Israel was created, to generate a lot of the energy behind the pogroms. These people are not us. And that word disloyal, if you hear it enough in the circles in which you travel and aren't critical enough to understand what that means and what the code is, you go spit it out again and you don't realize that's an anti-Semitic term. I guess in your circles, maybe it's not.
Well, not only is it anti-Semitic, it also could lead to other people hearing it. I'm not saying that the person who went into a synagogue in Pittsburgh and killed 11 people are getting their marching orders from anyone, but the fact is when you throw out they're not patriotic, they're not one of us, it just leads to scary things, and I'm surprised more and more people didn't react horrifically from what the president said.
Let's talk about what's going on here in North Carolina and the president. Last night, Trump tweeted that he's coming to North Carolina for a rally for Republican candidate Dan Bishop in the upcoming 9th congressional district election on September 10th. What can we expect?
This is was a big election. Matter of fact, you know how we always say that the Spanish Civil War was the practice for World War II because a lot of tactics were used in Spain that we saw in World War II? Well, the race on September 10th between Dan Bishop, the Republican, and Dan McCready, the Democrat, is using a lot of the tactics that we expect to see in 2020. I just saw recently a Dan Bishop commercial where he accused McCready of being part of the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Maxine Waters and Nancy Pelosi and all those dangerous liberals. So Trump got a big reception when he came to North Carolina not too long ago, the famous Send Her Back rally, and he's hoping to have another rally for Bishop. Right now, the polls are very close, but whoever wins on September 10th, Dan Bishop or Dan McCready, will have, you know, these special elections take over, to take a much larger role than they should. But whoever wins it will have bragging rights for 2020.
Well, and North Carolina attracts a lot of money because it is a swing state. We've got
Absolutely.
New polling. Now, this is interesting because, you know, if you look at what Tom Tillis, let's talk about the Senate race and move to 2020. Tom Tillis running for re-election as the Republican incumbent is by far outraising money for outraising his primary opponents. And yet, the latest numbers from public policy polling show the Senator Tom Tillis underwater when it comes to that primary.
The problem with Tom Tillis, and there's a lot of problems, given the fact that it's a swing state and he's become a very strong Trump supporter in a state that he probably should be more moderate. But the fact is that both wings of the Republican Party have never really truly trusted Tom Tillis, especially when going back, and we've talked about this on your show, the time when the president wanted to use a national emergency at the Mexican border. And so Tillis first opposed the president, then he backed the president, and both sides of the Republican Party said, we don't trust this guy. So that's why the latest PPP poll shows that he's not running away with the Republican nomination. And you know that whatever Democrat he faces in November of next year will give him a tough battle.
All right. Well, let's talk about the presidential race now. We've lost four Democratic, at least the Democratic Party has lost four candidates who are running.
We're only down to 21. Oh.
No, it's like it's over.
Oh, yeah. Seth Moulton is a guy who dropped out today. And that's interesting because nobody ever heard of him because he's never been in the debates. So you know there are a lot, and because they have another debate coming up on September 12th, there are a lot of Democrats who look like they will not qualify for that debate. That could even include Kirsten Gillibrand, because she's not running as well as she should. So right now we know that there are 10 Democrats who will be in the September 12th debate, but we don't know how many more there'll be. And if there's not going to be many more, you could see that a lot of these candidates may drop out because they're not making the qualifications to make it into that debate.
California Senator Kamala Harris certainly is in the running and in the thick of it, and she's coming to North Carolina this weekend. What do you think about her campaign so far?
North Carolina is a key state. Look, we know it's a key state in November, but it's also a key state on Super Tuesday. It's one of the states like California, like Georgia, like Texas that are voting on I think, March 3rd of 2020, and there's a sizable African-American population in North Carolina, and she needs this because there seems to be an indication. It's early. It still is early, but the big boost she got after that first debate when she took on Joe Biden on busing gave her a tremendous boost in finances and polling numbers. But then after the second debate, when she basically became the target of a lot of people because she became the front runner, or at least moving up in the polls, her numbers have now settled down to mediocrity. So I think she's a very promising candidate who has not taken off the way a lot of people think she has. And she just, you know, obviously needs a very good performance on September 12th in Houston, the next debate.
Donald Trump, background checks, gun control. He was all for him, and then he got a phone call.
You knew this was going to happen. This is exactly what happened after Parkland. After the tragedy of the Parkland and the school in Parkland, Florida, last year, he talked about background checks, and then he met with the NRA and said, forget about it. That's exactly what happened after El Paso and Dayton. The president said, I'm going to be strong on background checks. He met with Wayne LaPierre of the NRA and said, you know something? I think we have all the background checks we need. It's so predictably following a script, and yet people are surprised. And now nobody's talking about guns anymore because it happened over a week ago.
Yeah, and that is certainly sad that important issues like that can drop from our consciousness so quickly. And they do get pushed out by issues like the sale of Greenland. Although I have to say, as a marker for where the president is and what he's done for the presidency, it is kind of important to think about a guy asking Denmark to sell Greenland and then being miffed and canceling a trip.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. I mean, basically, he called the Prime Minister of Denmark, one of our closest allies, nasty because she thought the idea of purchasing Greenland, which Denmark is not allowed. It's like asking Britain to sell us Canada. I mean, you can't do that just because it's in the Confederation. But anyway, he was so miffed. He canceled a meeting with the Prime Minister, and I've seen some of the headlines. I don't read Danish, although I love it. I love the cheese. But I've seen a lot of headlines where they're just mocking the president all over the country, and actually the rest of the world seems to be mocking him. I thought it was a headline out of The Onion when he said he wanted to purchase.
I couldn't believe it. I really looked up again. I was reading the Times. There it was, and I looked back up at the masthead. I said, what am I looking at here? Are you
kidding?
Right? He's angry about it because she said no. Did we know for sure he was buying it for the United States, or did he just want it to like put another resort? He might have meant for himself. We don't know.
Well, there was a joke that the big Trump Tower in the middle of the country, but basically there's a tremendous amount of oil reserves.
Yeah.
And the fact is, because of global warming, which he doesn't agree with, it's going to be very warm and sunny, and it'll be a great place to go on vacation.
Yeah, nice golf course there.
Yeah.
Ken Rudin is the political junkie. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you, Frank.
Just ahead, the state Supreme Court looking at six capital cases that allegedly involve racial bias. We'll talk about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.